Spanish. Family, let's start off this morning with a phrase, the beginning of a movement. The Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God is. Tell me, how would you finish that sentence? Amen. Amen. God is here. Let me try some out on you now. The Spirit of God is. A river, so big and beautiful that I cannot help but set my boat upon her waters, and I know I'll be going somewhere good. The Spirit of God is in my life, in my breath, in my steps, in my hands, so close it's uncomfortable sometimes, so close I cannot help but be changed into the image of the all-loving God I was born to be. The Spirit of God is not bound to serve any nation, any master, any commander-in-chief, any legislation that says kill that one, or deport that one, or lock this one up in jail. The Spirit of God is undocumented and always crossing borders. The Spirit of God is still dreaming of a society where true freedom is poured out on all flesh. The Spirit of God is our guarantee that we will never be alone, we will never be abandoned, even when our giants fall and our saints are taken from us by death. The Spirit breathes us back together in the cloud of witnesses. The Spirit of God is weeping with us, even as she weaves us into the infinite communion of saints. The Spirit of God is available at all times and all places to all people, all ages, all genders, all personalities, all nationalities, all levels of education, all levels of wealth, all levels of power. And the Spirit of God is desperate to transform our hearts into the image of God crucified and resurrected. She is desperate to knit the world together into the tapestry of God, which will cover all injustice and all violence with an inescapable and irresistible union of heavenly love and peace. Church, let's pray. God, send your Spirit on us. Make it overwhelming. Help us to give in. Help us to step out. We worship you this morning. We worship you. Amen. Let's continue our worship by joining us together in song. Sing the story, number 43. Sing the story, number 43.
We'll only repeat the refrain the first time. After that, just sing the refrain once. We'll do for verses 1 through 3 with the refrain in between those verses and sing the entire hymn in English.
Remember the smile.
And now the bulletin insert. O great God and Lord of the earth. The origin of this hymn is from El Salvador, and we learned this with John Bell. I believe it was the first time he was here 8 years ago.
We come now to our time of confession. If you would, let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh God, we confess that there have been times when we have been afraid of your Spirit because it seems so wild. Because we've already made our plans. Lord, have mercy. We confess that there have been times when we have been leaning on our own understandings of the world, our own ideas of what is possible today. Lord, have mercy. We confess that there have been times when we have wondered where your Spirit was, why everything has sounded like silence, where we should be looking, or if we should just give up. Lord, have mercy. And we confess that we need your Spirit now more than ever. The world seems to be churning in every kind of way, and we cannot navigate these waves alone. Guide us safely into your peaceful harbor. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Family, Jesus has told us that we would never be apart from God. Jesus told us that God has sent us a helper, a teacher, a guide. The Spirit is alive among us. This is true today and always. The Spirit directs us in the way of God's peace. So let us spread this peace this morning by speaking to each other these words. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's rise and share the peace of Christ. All right, it's time for children's time. So anybody who looks like a child or feels like a child, come on up. Steve Wiebe Johnson has some things to share.
It's great to see you all this morning. Today, we're doing something a little bit different in worship. I don't know if any of you know what we're doing today. What do these things on the table mean up here?
The bread of life.
Bread of life and? Okay, all right, that's good. Anybody else? You know, one of the things that's always fascinating to me about the bread and the wine is that it's a symbol of being together and being apart in a lot of ways. It's a symbol, it's a time where we celebrate being one in Jesus. But when I think about where the grapes, the wine comes from and where the bread comes from, they're grains of wheat that were crushed and dried, and then formed into bread. And there were grapes that were crushed and turned into juice. The skins were separated out and the seeds were separated out. So there's something in the, even in the eating of the bread and the wine, we celebrate something that has been transformed, something that's been changed. I forgot to do the offering, so if you have something, this is still for kids in the ministry of La Casa Grande in Benin. And so in thinking about today and celebrating World Communion Sunday of the Anabaptist churches around the world, it got me thinking about same and different. Now, does anybody recognize anybody in that picture? No. You don't think there's anybody in that picture that's in here today? You don't see anybody? You don't. You don't think that young, good-looking, dark-haired, skinny guy looks like me? I tried, you know, last week for some reason, you know, I'm turning 60 in August. And you know, I'm working on a new Steve hairstyle because for a lot of years I wore it basically the same, 30-some years for crying out loud. So it's time for a change. And I decided to once again try to grow my beard and see if it looked like Ben's or if it looked like anything, you know. And it's so gray now, I don't even see. But my head up top, it's still dark. So, but what's changed? Am I the same person or a different person? I changed body shape, I changed hair. Anything else that changed? I think I'm decidedly more handsome, but that's beside the point. But this is a book that we used to read to our kids when they were small. It's called We Are Different, We're the Same, and We're Wonderful. And it's a Sesame Street book. We're not going to read the whole thing. But I want to talk about some of the things that bring us, that make us all the same. Can you see this picture, buddy? Do you see what it says? We are different. We're different. Our noses are different. Okay. You see all the different pictures? Some have long noses. Some have short noses. Some have fat noses. Some have skinny noses. We're the same, our noses are the same. They breathe and sniff and sneeze and whiff. So one thing that makes noses all the same is that they smell stuff. And like with mine, with its congestion, it's a pain. I have to blow my nose all the time, right? So noses are different, are different the way they look, but they're same in what they do. And this one, our hair is different. Your hair is a different color from your sister's, and your brother's both. All three of you have different hair. And you, sir, your hair is different still, and yours as well. And your mom's, she's the only one that has frizzy hair, right? Ellen's the only one with frizzy hair. And then this one here. Our hair is the same. It grows on us in several places. It warms our heart, our heads and frames our faces. Huh. It frames our faces like a picture. And one more, we'll just read a few more lines here. Our mouths are different. Do you see any difference between this mouth and this mouth?
Because that one's scary.
That one's scary and the one's sort of happy. What about this one here? Losing it. One's lost a tooth. So even, you know what makes things funny a little bit on this? Even though you're talking about the mouth isn't one, is as one thing, right? You say my mouth. But your mouth is many different parts, isn't it? They're teeth. It's not our teeth that make our mouths different. But our teeth make are different. But it's still a mouth. Now, we're going to make a big jump. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. The body of Christ around the world looks differently. Did were any of you here to see the thing on the screen, the little music playing on the screen? Well, there was some music from Tanzania, the church in Tanzania, celebrating in different places, but singing a nice song together, I think for today. And just as Dorothy and I, you could find Dorothy over there, she looks just as beautiful as she did back then, but she's very different. I told you already, I'm even more handsome than I was then. We keep changing. We keep becoming something new. We keep being transformed like the grapes become juice, like the bread, grains of wheat become bread. Things are being transformed all around us. And as the church in many different parts comes together around communion, we recognize that all of us are being transformed into a new thing by the Spirit of God. So change is good, transformation is good, And we can trust the Spirit to make us something that will honor God. So let's have a little word of prayer. By the way, you're looking great with your little tie there. That was a new one. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you for each child here today. Thank you for all of our friends and families scattered about that we know. And thank you for all those Mennonites and Anabaptists scattered around the world that we don't know. Not all of them do we know face to face. But what we do know is that it's your Spirit, O God, that unites and brings us together and transforms us into something that gives honor and glory to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Reading from Joel 2:28. Then afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions.
Nuestra escritura de hoy viene del mensaje de Joel, capítulo 2, versículo 28. Después de esto, derramaré mi espíritu sobre la humanidad entera, y los hijos y las hijas de ustedes profetizarán, los ancianos tendrán sueños, y los jóvenes recibirán visiones.
John 14:25-27. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Y del Evangelio de Juan, capítulo 14, versículo 25 hasta 27. Les he dicho estas cosas mientras estoy con ustedes, pero el Espíritu Santo, a quien el Padre enviará en mi nombre, los consolará y les enseñará todas las cosas y les recordará todo lo que yo les he dicho. La paz les dejo, mi paz les doy. Yo no la doy como el mundo la da. No dejen que su corazón se turbe y tenga miedo. Palabra de Dios.
The word of the Lord.
Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson Crable. Let's pray for him. Oh God, let the meditations of all of our hearts and the words of Nelson's mouth be acceptable and right in your eyes. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer, bless us in this time. Amen.
This is Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday, a day when we express and remember our solidarity with sisters and brothers around the world who share a commitment to Jesus Christ in mission, peacemaking, service, and witness. And I have in my hand here a staff that was passed on to me in 2015 as I began a six-year term as president of Mennonite World Conference, which means I'm the volunteer chair of the board. Not staff, but I meet at least once a month, often by Skype, with other leaders around the world to work on global issues. So I have this staff for 6 years, and it says on it, MWC, Mennonite World Conference, God's Mennonite people, continuing the work that Jesus began through worship, service, peacemaking, and evangelism. On Friday, I was in internet conversation with a small circle of church leaders from Mennonite people in Kenya, Colombia, and Indonesia. These churches are facing pressing issues of peacemaking. There's political violence in Kenya that has destroyed villages and taken the lives of Mennonite church people and many others. And this is happening even as Kenya prepares to host 200 Anabaptists from around the world in April of this year. There are difficult peace negotiations going on in Colombia. This is the wind down from 50 years of civil war. That's right, 50 years of civil war in this Latin American country. And now Mennonites are part of a wider process, but Mennonites have been a catalyst for this process. And some of our Mennonite church people are meeting with rebel commanders from the FARC and others, and also meeting with government officials and going back and forth in I think, difficult and perhaps at times dangerous work. How much our world needs the gospel, the good news of forgiveness and suffering love that we see in Jesus. How much I, as someone in a position of power and security and wealth, and all of us are in that position, how much we need to learn from sisters and brothers around the world. How much the global Christian church needs the reconciling witness of Anabaptist Christians. A wave of emails passed my screen this week from Mennonites in other countries who are responding to comments by President Trump about Africa and Haiti. Here's an admonition that came from Bishop Nelson Kasari of Tanzania, which is an email he sent to his own people and then copied a few others elsewhere. Bishop Kasari said, "The words of President Trump make me think of Jesus, who was gravely abused, cursed, humiliated, offended, and crucified, but still tells us not to condemn those who curse us, but to do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, and pray for those who ill-treat us. My dear brothers and sisters, we should not respond to this abuse with condemnation. But as children of God, let us pray and reflect on the teaching of Jesus on forgiveness, and let Jesus judge according to the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how bitter and painful the words made by the U.S. president are hurting us. It doesn't matter how much we have refused to accept the concept of racism and racial discrimination. God is inviting us to carry our pain and bitterness to him through prayer, and he will turn all these into blessings. We love our sisters and brothers in the United States, and the recent unfortunate incident will never whatsoever dent our cordial, friendly, good, and strong relationship. We can only change the attitudes of those who still believe in racism through prayer and ask God to intervene through the power of the Holy Spirit. In reconciliation, I write this through the blood of Jesus Christ, Bishop Kasari, Kanisa, La Mennonite, Tanzania," that is Tanzania Mennonite Church. In a moment of being humiliated by the most powerful nation on earth, a Mennonite leader in Tanzania tells his flock to rely on the Holy Spirit for healing and to remember the words of Jesus. John 14, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Anabaptists in the global South often are leading the way for all of us in peacemaking and evangelism. The global South is what we used to call the third world. It's mostly nations in the southern hemisphere. Some are poor. These are nations, many of which Europe and the United States used to control directly as colonies, now often controls by economic means. This part of the global church, the global South, has seen extraordinary vision and growth in recent decades. The church in Kenya is growing in the midst of suffering and violence. They just commissioned 3 new bishops to cope with the growing Mennonite church there. Faith in the global South is not, as the British sometimes call it, a bolt-on extra. It's the engine that powers their lives. And when faith becomes central for individuals and communities, it's not a matter of memorizing a lot of doctrine or developing a halo. It's about knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection through the presence of the Holy Spirit. John says in John 16, or rather Jesus says in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is, what the Spirit does and inspires in our lives and our communities will be consistent with the teaching of Jesus and will glorify Jesus. And that always is an important measure if we're trying to determine the authenticity of the movement of the Spirit among us. Does this reflect Jesus? Is this true to the Christ we know? Or does it glorify the preacher or the healer or generate money? Does it reflect Jesus and elevate him? Brent Esch was an Indiana, Michigan Mennonite conference leader. He was a pastor, an elder, and beloved brother in this congregation who died on January 8. Brent had vision for the unity and peace of Indiana, Michigan Mennonite Conference and the wider church, but this was the conference where he worked, and he particularly expressed that vision in the last months of his life. In September, Brent drafted a letter that went out under the signature of pastors of this congregation, but noting that it had been drafted by Brent, to all Mennonite churches in Elkhart and the immediate area, with a note that said this, with text that said this, written by Brent: we want you to know that you are important to us. We have been strengthened and enriched by opportunities to share in worship, counsel, and discernment with you at conference settings. We thank God for you and for our relationship. While we acknowledge that we are not all at the same place on some matters important to all of us, we believe we do share that which is essential in our life together. We at Prairie Street confess gladly and willingly that Jesus is Lord and Savior. We trust that you also make this confession. It is our prayer, then, that we can commit with you to build together on Jesus Christ, the only foundation on which our faith can be built. We are all God's building, a temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. End quote. At the threshold of eternal life, with keen spiritual insight, Brent reminded the church that we build on Jesus Christ, that it is the Spirit which unites us, not unanimity in all areas of practice or even precise agreement on how we interpret the Scripture. To know Christ and the power of the Spirit in this way is like any relationship we might have. We must invest ourselves and our time and our energy in relationship. Relationship with one another and relationship with our Lord. 10 days ago, at a meeting of international Mennonite mission leaders at AMBS, a man from the Global South talked about how the mission agency he is part of conducts board meetings. He said, on the second day of our meetings, we open ourselves to God all day, and we do three things. He said, first of all, we pray. And second, we pray some more. And third, we pray again. It's not unusual in Africa and Asia to hear church leaders talk about all-night prayer meetings with a group of leaders or sometimes the whole congregation, or about fasting and waiting on the Lord for discernment. I am tempted to think of prayer and waiting on the Spirit as sort of bookends of a meeting. You know, it's a nice thing at the beginning and a good way to close a meeting. You know, have a quick prayer with the real work of the meeting in the middle. I'm taking a lifetime to learn to listen in prayer, to await the nudging of the Spirit. There's too much work to do to spend all our days on our knees or with eyes shut. That's not what I'm talking about. But we can train our eyes and our ears to be alert all day to the possibility that God is at work, that God is speaking through events and people around us. Try praying for others when you meet them. And this is something that a small thing that I've just learned in recent years. If someone shares a concern with you at church or elsewhere, ask if you can pray for them. And then clasp their hand just like you're shaking hands, but just hang on for a bit and pray for them. I found it to be a culturally acceptable way to be spiritually and physically in touch with another person, even in a very public place. If you're looking for tools to strengthen your relationship with the global Mennonite church, I have two tools to recommend. One is the magazine, newspaper, Mennonite World Review. We get it here at church, so you can see it here if you want and ask for it. Or it's not an expensive subscription. It comes every 2 weeks. It's full of articles from the church around the world and gives us a perspective other than just the North American issues. And then there's the resource of Mennonite World Conference. And if you don't know the website, just Google Mennonite World Conference and you'll get to it quickly. It's a website with articles and news. And I would urge you to dream and plan for attending Mennonite World Conference Assembly, which will happen in Indonesia in 2021. And it will be 8,000 or 10,000 people, Mennonites from around the world, gathering in a Mennonite church building, which itself seats 12,000 people. This is one congregation. That's where the delegates will meet, and you are welcome. And if you're looking for tools to strengthen your devotional relationship with God, a way for prayer, I have two tools to recommend, and both are smartphone apps. So you might want to make note if you don't know about this. The first is called Take Our Moments and Our Days. This is a daily text, set of scripture texts and brief prayer structure, text-based, that comes to you every day with an Anabaptist flavor. That is, it's mostly scripture, but it's scriptures that mean a lot to Anabaptists. And this was significantly organized and edited by our own Eleanor Kreider, working with others, but she had a great hand in that. It's a wonderful resource for prayer, especially in group settings, but it works alone. It's called Take Our Moments and Our Days. And another thing I've discovered recently and use with some regularity is an Anglican app called Pray As You Go. Pray As You Go. And it's beautiful music and scripture and a short meditation, often just 2 minutes, but it's a way to structure prayer when you maybe don't have energy to do that yourself. You can join that, and that's audio. Today we celebrate solidarity with the Global Anabaptist Church, with believers, Mennonite believers, in more than 60 countries. This is more than 1 million Mennonites around the world are marking this occasion. This table here is global, and Christ is the host, and his love transcends every boundary of race, nation, color, or detention center. Let us come to this table today with repentance, humility, and gratitude. Amen.
Green, sing the journey hymnal number 32, If You Believe and I Believe. And those who are able, please stand.